Stand and worship the Lord together this morning.
Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sin was great, your love was great.
You've been conquered by the King. He is the resurrected one, shining like the sun, breaking through the fear. Victory is here now. Oh, 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 hallelujah. Oh, 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 hallelujah. Jesus be lifted higher. Serve a risen Savior.
To everybody here today, we are so glad that you're here today to help us celebrate the greatest event of all time, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. Hey, if you are here for the very first time, my name is Wayne. This is my wife, Tracy. We're the pastors here at Grace, and we're so glad that you joined us for church today. So before you're seated, why don't you take a moment and meet one person, just one, before you're seated. God bless you as you do that. We're so glad you've chosen to be with us today on Easter weekend. This is the third of our Easter services, and we've had a great time so far. But how many know we're saving the best for last? That's you guys, all right? Would you do us a favor when you came in today? In your bulletin, there is a connection card that looks like this, an Easter connection card. And we would like everybody, if you're here for the first time or if you've been here for years, to fill this card out today. How many know Easter is unique in the fact that more often than not, most people are at church, all right? Everybody who goes to our church comes to church on Easter. So we want to take advantage of this and have everybody fill this out. We're not going to pass attendance books like we typically do. So if you'd help us update all of our information and take a moment to fill this out, go ahead and do that right now. We would appreciate that very, very much. Now, if you're here for the first time, you get something free for being part for doing that. On your way out, I want you to stop at the information tent, and we've got a bag full of free stuff to give you. And so thank you so much for being here. Church, would you make all of our guests welcome today? We're so glad you're here. I guess I'll have to retract that a little bit because we are going to draw 10 of these connection cards at the end of the service, and we're going to give 10 of you, and that's for everybody who fills one out, we're going to give 10 of you a movie ticket to go see a movie at Regal Theater this week. Now, what kind of church did you come to that's giving away movie tickets? Well, I'm going to tell you about the movie here in just a few minutes, okay? So thank you for doing that. And we have free pictures, family pictures for everybody. We've got some professional photographers who are here on site to take your picture because, after all, you look great. All right? And it might be the only time this year that you look. Never mind. So get a picture of it. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. You know, a few months ago, as I was praying about this weekend and Easter services, I don't know how God speaks to you, but I was praying. He said, God, what do you want me to share on Easter weekend? After all, there's going to be all kinds of people here. Everybody's coming in from different walks of life, different circumstances. And so God just gave me one word. And sometimes that's how it works with me, one word. And so I thought about that word. I studied that word. And that one word is if, I-F, a very simple word. And I've got a simple message for you here today. But let's pray. Let's ask God's blessing on our time here together. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? God, thank you so much for every person that are here in this building, God, those that are watching online. We thank you, Lord, because we believe that today we have a divine appointment with you. We thank you for Easter. We thank you for the resurrection. And we thank you, oh God, that the resurrection is not just something that happened, it's still happening. And Lord, it can happen today. Resurrection power. That's what we want to fill this place. God, we're praying that we'll be different after our time together. After we share this word, God, as we worship more, God, as we share testimonies, God, we pray that something significant would happen in our hearts and lives. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place. Do whatever you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. Now, I did a little Bible study on the word if, and I found out that there are 1,784 verses in the Bible that contain the word if. So I thought I would start the message by reading all 1,784 of them. I just want you to know that was a test, and you're the only service that passed that test. Thank you so much for doing that. How about four? Let me give you four that stood out to me. I like this. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If you like this verse, read it out loud with me. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Anybody like that? I love that promise. What about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. Thank God for that promise, right? How many know we need that in the United States of America in 2017? That's a reminder that the National Day of Prayer is the first Thursday of May. I hope you'll set aside some time specifically to pray for our country. Here's a couple more ifs in the Bible from 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. That's a great testimony. And then I love what Jesus said in John 15, verse 14. He said, you are my friends if you go to church on Easter. Is that what he said? No, he said, you are my friends if you do what I command. So how many know if is a great word? But most of us know that the word if is typically followed by the word then. Now, I know that there are no nerds among us, perhaps a few, but don't raise your hand. But every nerd knows that if then is a very basic construct in computer programming, right? So if certain conditions are met, then certain actions are taken. So because if is the key to everything that follows. If then, say that with me, if then. And so what does that have to do with Easter? Well, if Jesus actually rose from the dead, then what does that mean for us? What does that tell us? How does that help us in 2017? That's the simple premise of the message. So let's start with Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is our theme verse for the day. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Wow. But let's keep going. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Well, we'll talk about this here in just a minute, what that means, but that's powerful. It also shows that the resurrection of Jesus is the central theme of the Bible. But how many know we live in an unbelieving culture, and not everybody believes that Jesus actually rose from the grave, that the Bible is actually true? Right? A matter of fact, atheists like to put up billboards around this time of year. You may have seen a few like this. This one up top says, nobody died for our sins. Jesus Christ is a myth. I think they ought to put underneath that, Happy Easter. Very encouraging. And you may have heard of Richard Dawkins, a famous atheist, one of the four horsemen of atheists, they call themselves. Here's what he said, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the raising of Lazarus, even the Old Testament miracles, they all are freely used for religious propaganda. And they are very effective with an audience of unsophisticates and children. Can you believe what he just called you? Unsophisticates and children. So I found a sign that I think Mr. Dawkins would like and really would apply to everybody on Easter. Here's what it says. Happy Easter to our Christian friends. Happy Passover to our Jewish friends. To our atheist friends. Good luck. Now, for whatever reason, around the Easter season, Time Magazine, others, have these stories. We have these things about, the Book of Thomas. These things doubting the resurrection, doubting the divinity of Jesus. Over the years, Time Magazine has devoted a lot of their covers on Easter week to these types of themes. You can see some of them over the years. My favorite is 1968 Easter week. Is God dead? Wow, there's something about our culture that just refuses to believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's take a few minutes and let's establish the resurrection of Jesus and the evidence for us, because Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. Our faith is useless. Listen, if somebody can prove that Jesus actually did not rise from the grave, then we are simply here wasting our time. So it's important for us to take some time here and establish the validity of the resurrection. So here's the first part of the message. You can follow along on your notes. Number one, first part one is this. If Jesus was raised from the dead. If Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, I realize some of you might be saying, come on, Pastor, it's Easter. I'm at church. I actually believe Jesus rose from the dead. That's why we're here on Resurrection Day. Now listen, you're probably right. Most people here probably already believe that. But because we live in such a cynical world, and because our students and our kids are being bombarded with this stuff almost on a daily basis, we're going to talk about it. And I think this is going to provide a foundation for a lot of encouragement for everybody here today. So let's talk about if Jesus rose from the dead, because the then means it has some implications for us, okay? So let's start with the Bible. And let's start with 1 Corinthians 15, which is known as the resurrection chapter. Now, everybody knows what the love chapter is, right? 1 Corinthians 13. Well, the resurrection chapter is 1 Corinthians 15, and this is where Paul takes a lot of time talking about the implications of the resurrection. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen by Cephas, we know him as Peter, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also. So the Bible is very clear. Jesus rose from the grave. It's a fact. But not everybody in our culture believes the Bible. So let me give you a simple, just a few moments, takes a simple acrostic to help us establish the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. The acrostic spells out heart, and you can fill it in on your notes. I think this is important for all of us to understand and have, but let's start with H. The H stands for horrible death. If we're gonna argue for the resurrection of Jesus, first of all, we actually need to prove that he actually died, right? Because some people theorize that somehow Jesus survived the flogging and the crucifixion and somehow moved the stone away, and it's called the swoon theory, and somehow came back to life and never really died. But the historical evidence shows that the Romans were professional killers. They were very good at what they did. And the medical evidence shows that the flogging would have put Jesus in critical condition before he ever hung on a cross. And of course, the biblical account is when the Roman soldier put the spear in Jesus' side, blood and water flowed out, which is a medical condition proving that he actually died. The E stands for empty tomb. If there's a resurrection, there's got to be an empty tomb, right? And the only story that the enemies of Jesus could come up with to explain the empty tomb was that somehow his disciples stole the body. Which is interesting that these men who were cowering in fear and denying Jesus during his trial and crucifixion now all of a sudden found the courage and the strength and the martial arts ninja skills to take out some Roman soldiers. I don't think so. Matter of fact, the Jewish leaders of the time actually planted the idea that the disciples were going to steal the body even before Jesus actually rose from the grave, which should tell us that they knew enough Old Testament scripture to know the resurrection was actually going to happen. That's pretty powerful. The A stands for appearances after the resurrection. We already read 1 Corinthians 15. Paul testifies over 500 different people. They saw Jesus, they were eyewitnesses. After he died, they saw him alive. And that most of the people who had seen him after he died were still alive when Paul was writing 1 Corinthians 15, which he wrote it about 25 years later after the resurrection of Jesus. So when he wrote this, that these people are still alive, any one of those people could have stood up and refuted Paul's writings, which were spread throughout the known world at that particular time. Now, it also would have meant that these disciples who had seen Jesus after the resurrection died for a lie. It was something they knew to be a hoax, which could never happen. And then R stands for record of women as first witnesses. And I know some of you ladies are saying, what's up with that? You got to explain that one to me. Well, you got to remember that all of the Gospels established that the first witnesses of the resurrected Jesus were women. And in that particular culture, women weren't even legally allowed to testify. There was no respect for their testimony in that particular time. And so if the gospel writers were trying to make up a story of a resurrection, the very last people that they would pick first to be the first witnesses of the resurrection would be women. But that's what they all wrote because that's what actually happened. And then T of heart stands for transformation of the disciples. How many know the resurrection of Jesus was the catalyst for a dramatic transformation in all of his followers? Peter turns from a coward into this courageous proclaimer of the resurrection. 11 of the 12 followers, the disciples, the original disciples, they all gave their lives, many in gruesome ways, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, the greatest antagonist of Christianity, becomes its greatest advocate and writes two-thirds of the New Testament. And fast forward to 2017, where billions of people around the world are gathered here on Easter weekend, celebrating and testifying to the fact of the transforming power of Jesus Christ to change hearts and lives, of which there are hundreds who are here this morning who will testify that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is still changing hearts and lives. Can I get a witness? In the house of God. Now, years ago, a journalist by the name of Lee Strobel, he was an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune. Something interesting happened to Mr. Strobel. His wife decided to start following Jesus. And she got so radical, she said, "I'm going to get baptized in water." Well, you know, Lee Strobel was an atheist. He didn't believe in God at all. So he said, "I'm going to set out to disprove the resurrection, disprove this faith in Christ." And so he searched out all the experts and all of the evidence. And after a good amount of time doing all of this research, he came to the conclusion that Jesus was an actual man. And he actually died. And all the evidence proves he actually did rise from the grave. And so as a result, he gave his heart to Jesus, and now he's a pastor. That's pretty awesome stuff, right? He later wrote a book about it called The Case for Christ. And we have a copy of this book we like to give to one for every family here at church today. So on your way out, you can pick up a copy of this book, okay? I want you to read it. It's powerful. It's encouraging. And then pass it on to somebody else. This will encourage you greatly. Now, the good news is, just last weekend, a movie was released about this book and about the story that I just told you about. It was so awesome. I asked my staff on Tuesday afternoon, I said, "How many of you like to skip out work and let's go watch a movie?" They all said yes. I have a very smart staff, by the way. And I'll tell you, it was one of the best movies I've seen in a long, long time. I highly encourage you to check it out. By the way, the movie tickets we're going to give away to 10 of you who filled out the connection card, that's the movie we're going to be sending you to see, okay? I want you to watch this trailer and be encouraged. The Case for Christ. Watch this.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
You sure you want to give me that loaded gun?
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to pull the trigger.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not going to lose my wife and my kids to something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradictions.
The empty tomb is based on evidence. And isn't evidence your trade?
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going to be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Could Jesus survive being spiked to the cross?
There is no evidence of anyone ever surviving a full Roman crucifixion.
Just because I write something down and I bury it in the dirt, it doesn't make it true.
What I felt was something more real than anything I've ever felt in my life.
I'm praying for you.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
Stop blaming me and the church and God and do your job.
No one's ever proven if the shroud is the actual burial cloth of the Christ.
But whenever someone looks in those eyes for the first time, suddenly becomes a real person.
We sing hallelujah, the Lamb is
I don't have them. You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it could form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of His love. And my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send a praise up. If there are words for Him, then I don't have them. My God, His grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, and favorable. Unsearchable, yet knowable. Indefinable, yet approachable. Indescribable, yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination, constant through generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few, and to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary will never do. But I use words as an expression of a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses His name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and has bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into His presence, completely invited me in. He has made Himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, giving nothingness formation, and by His word He sustains in the power of His name. For He is before all things, and over all things He reigns. Holy is His name. Praise Him for His life. The way He preserved in strife the humbled Son of God, becoming the perfect sacrifice. Praise Him for His death, that He willingly stood in our place, that He lovingly endured the grave, that He battled our enemy, and on the third day He rose in victory. Praise Him because He rose. Hallelujah, He rose. Lift your voice and sing. Praise Him as the risen King, for one day He will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim, for my words point to the Word, and the Word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise His name forever.
Forever He is risen.
together and celebrate the risen Savior. Amen. Praise God. Hey, you can be seated. Back where I was, it sounded like somebody's alive. That's good news, amen. If Jesus rose from the dead, and he did, then what does that mean? What are the implications of that if? Well, let me share one with you. It means then he is God. If Jesus rose from the dead, then he is God. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 10, verse 30. He said, I and the Father are one. He's saying, I am God. And the resurrection proved it. How many know the resurrection of Jesus was the ultimate drop the mic moment? Amen? Henry Morris, the theologian, put it this way, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. But if it did take place, then Christ is God, and the Christian faith is absolute truth. In a politically correct world that we live in, where every religion is true, if it's true for you, and you can believe whatever you want to believe as long as you have sincerely held beliefs, this statement by Jesus is radical. And the resurrection of Jesus makes it radical. Jesus is God. He is the only God. We call this the deity of Christ or the divinity of Christ because Jesus, that means Jesus is omnipotent. Jesus is omniscient. Jesus is omnipresent. Jesus is the first and the last. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God and the resurrection proves that. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead. It's a fact. And then he takes the rest of the chapter and he details the implications of that. Look at what he says in verse 25. He says, because of his resurrection, Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has put all things under his authority. That means Jesus is the judge. The God that you and I will stand before one day, he is the God. The resurrection is central to Scripture. It's central to our faith. And it reminds me of a story of a Muslim and a Christian who were discussing the validity or the value of Muhammad versus Jesus as prophets. And so the Muslim said to the Christian, he says, hey, we can go to Mecca at any time and visit Muhammad's grave, but you Christians, all you have is an empty tomb. To which the Christian replied, exactly. That's the message of Jesus. Auguste Comte, the French philosopher, he was discussing the future with Thomas Carlyle, a Scottish essayist. And he said that he was going to start a new religion. And this new religion is going to supplant the religion of Jesus. So Carlyle says, very good, Mr. Comte. All you got to do is speak as never a man spake. And live as never a man lived, and be crucified, and rise again on the third day, and then get the world to believe that you're still alive, then your religion might have a chance. Listen, the power of the message of the gospel is in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I know some of you might be saying to yourself, okay, Pastor, this is all good and great, and I like it, but listen, I didn't come to church to have a theological debate about the resurrection of Jesus. I came to church today because my life's a wreck, because my marriage is in trouble, because my kids aren't doing good, because I need a miracle in my life. I came for that. Do you have anything for me? I've got some really good news. I do, because the if-then part of the resurrection is this. If Jesus rose from the grave, then he has the power to change your life. He has the power to change your circumstances. He has the power to change you right here, right now. See, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, there's all kinds of testimonies of transformed lives all around the world. Many are here in the room today, but I just want to show you one. This is Joey's story. Joey's one of us from right here in Indiana, and I want you to hear his story of the power of Jesus to change his life. Watch this.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life.
Hi, my name's Joe Hamlin, I'm 33 years old. I'm from Shelbyville, Indiana. I went to Waldron High School, and I have a 9-year-old little boy. Growing up, I was an athlete all through school. I played sports. I was always kind of stand out in baseball and basketball. I did a lot of hunting and fishing growing up. You know, I would wake up early and couldn't wait to get outside and go out to the woods or the creek and just play, just be a boy.
Joey was always a really good boy, was never a problem. He was a very good kid.
There was also a part where my dad was an alcoholic. He would get jobs and quit his jobs because of the alcohol addiction. There was still things going on inside that other people didn't know about that were tough for a kid to deal with. And my mom had to work hard to support us, me and my two sisters.
I ended up, when they were pretty small, going to work and taking care of them, which gave them a lot of freedom, which wasn't a good thing.
In that time, I moved to a neighborhood, and it was all older kids around me. I started thinking these guys were cool. I wanted to be like them.
Probably teenage years is when it all started, just trying to fit in with the older boys.
At the age of 13, I smoked a joint for the first time.
He was very good at sports. I had hopes and aspirations that Joey would, get scholarships and go on to college.
You know, I kept playing sports. I kept making the teams. I was still standing out in my athletics. You know, drug use is progressive, and it went from smoking pot to taking pills, and this is where my practices weren't important anymore, my grades weren't important anymore.
Sports didn't matter anymore, things at school work didn't matter anymore, and I didn't know what to do. I was losing my son, and I didn't know what to do.
Instead of just smoking pot, I was now taking pills like Vicodin, Xanax, Valiums, experimenting with drugs like acid and ecstasy. And then my junior year of high school, I overdosed on methadone.
My good little boy had started getting rebellious, and of course that was because he was getting into things he shouldn't be doing.
My mom remarried a man, his name's Jameson Carrier, and he came into our life and he was a Christian man. I started seeing a man really live out the Christian walk. He started helping me through this addiction.
This was way bigger than any person could fix, and I knew that Jesus was the only answer.
I knew that the answer was Jesus Christ, and I knew that he had a plan for me. I seen it in other people's lives, and I seen other guys walking in freedom, and I believed what the Bible said. I believed that they were free from an addiction because I seen it, but it just wasn't true for me yet. So I went through my first 30-day rehab. I got out and went right back to the same way of life.
One day, Jameson and I were going to town, and he said, let's drive by the cabin. And I didn't understand why we were driving by the cabin, because it was out of the way. And he just said, I really feel like we should drive by the cabin. So we drove by the cabin, and there was Joey's truck. We tried to get in the door. We yelled Joey's name, and he didn't respond. And we tried to get in the door, and it was tied shut. Jameson kicked the door in, and Joey was laying on the bed, passed out he had a syringe in his arm, and he had overdosed, and he was already blue, and we had no idea how long he had been like that. And so we called 911, and Jameson had to get him on the floor of the cabin and breathe life back into him and do CPR, and the ambulance came and took him to the hospital, and he was in intensive care, and the doctor even said to me, I don't know how he's alive. I don't know how he's even functioning, because he was without oxygen for quite a while.
13 times in my life I overdosed. Some people would say I was lucky, but I know it was the grace of God on my life that people would find me. There was a time in my life I pulled it together and got it. I was working and I ended up marrying a girl I went to school with. We had a little boy. I was playing basketball one night and I came down on somebody's ankle and tore all the ligaments in my foot. I went to the doctor and they gave me a prescription to a pain medication. You know, I went and filled that pain medication and it took me right back to that addiction. I started using again, ended up going to prison. I did 9 months in prison, and in that time, my wife left me. She couldn't put up with it anymore. And I got out of prison and I went right back to the same way of life.
And there was lots and lots of nights that I would take his picture and I would go in the living room on the couch and I would hold him when I didn't know where he was and I would lay and pray till I fell asleep.
I went out to Portland, Oregon, a broken man. I'll never forget, there was this bench outside the Teen Challenge Center. And I would go out there and I would grab my Bible and I would sit on that bench. And I just started up. I would just sit there and say, God, I don't want to be who I've become anymore. And on that bench, God started revealing himself to me and he started breaking down these walls of addiction. And I started truly feeling that there was hope. I had went so deep in addiction, I couldn't get myself out of it. But I started reading that Bible, and it started becoming real to me. You know, I believe I went out to Portland, Oregon Teen Challenge delivered from drugs, because when I walked out of that hospital, February 1st, 2015, I've never had a desire to use heroin again.
I got my mother-in-law praying with me, and we prayed for deliverance for Joey. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, on February 1st, 2015, that Joey was delivered.
God started building me into a man of integrity, a man of character.
Jesus reached his hands down out of the heavens and he pulled Joey out of that addiction. I know he did because he knew his heart and he knew that he couldn't do it on his own.
You know, I had been in and out of my son's life so much. I wasn't talking to him anymore. His mom was tired of me coming in and out of his life that she said, it's not happening anymore. And I wasn't able to talk to him. And I just started sitting on that bench and praying, God, if you can use me, use me. And if you can restore this relationship with my son, God, then restore it. And he did.
There's a change in him that I've seen that I never saw before. And he is a different person. And it's all by the grace of God that he is who he is today.
We went out on this family vacation. And on our way to the cabin, we were going to take this vacation and stay, and we stopped at this random church, and it was this message of salvation that a little boy could understand. And in that church, I was able to lead my son to Christ, and I missed out on so much of his life, but God put me there for the most important decision of his life. And you know, there's been a lot of struggles in my life. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and I still work through a lot of things, but today I know that God has a plan for me. Today I work at North Central Indiana Teen Challenge. I just completed the staff internship. I'm going into a staff position.
Peace and joy. I see happiness that I've never seen in him before.
If he can take a broken life like mine, it is a riddled with addiction, strongholds, times in jails and prisons, and overdose after overdose, and brokenness and failed relationships. I know he can do the same for anybody.
What God did for Joey, he also did for Joey's dad. He is free of alcoholism and he's living for God today.
It's a story of grace. It's a story of mercy. It's a story that God loved me and he never quit pursuing me.
Don't ever give up on your loved one and always believe that as long as they're alive, that God can reach down from the heavens and deliver them too. What a great way to be celebrating Easter this year.
Today I give my life back. I give my time back by working in the ministry of Teen Challenge. I tell you today that if you think you're in a situation that's too big for God, that you're too broken for God to heal, that things have fallen apart and there is no putting them back together, I can tell you today that God is the answer, and God can, and God will, and God is able.
Somebody testify. Jesus is a chain breaker. If Jesus rose from the dead, then he has the power to change your life. Today, right here, right now, some of you came to church bound up, but you're going to leave free. Some of you came to church full of fear and full of worry and anxiety, and you're going to leave with peace. Some of you came and your life is a wreck, and you're going to leave with direction. You're going to leave with hope. You're going to leave with courage because of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, Christianity, Jesus is not a faith system. It is the power of God, and it's real. Can you imagine what it was like on resurrection morning when Jesus rose from the grave? How much power was present and on display? Matthew in his gospel says there was so much power, it caused an earthquake. That's a lot of power. You can't measure that in BTUs or joules or therms because it's not man-made power. It's supernatural power. Let's go back to our theme verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Look at what it says. The Spirit of God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead, and he lives in you. Wow. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life. Would you say that? He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. That is a mind-blowing thought. The same power on that day that raised Jesus from the grave, that same power that you can't measure, is right here in this room, to heal, to save, to deliver, to set free, to encourage, to give hope. I said, I got faith today. I've got faith in this resurrection message. You want to know why? Because I'm a follower of Jesus because of his resurrection. I read the Bible because of the resurrection. I obey what he says because of the resurrection, because he's God and there is no one else. You know, the question then becomes, how do we access that power? How do we human beings, 2,000 years later, how do we tap into that power? Don't you wish we just have a spiritual plug in and walk around like a lightning cord? Boom, boom. That'd be awesome. Just come to church, plug it in the chair. Wah! I don't have one of those today. Here's what I do have. What I do have, what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Look at this. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Do you see that? how do I experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead? Paul says it's through Jesus. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through the cross. It's through the message of the cross. Jesus is God. Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus rose from the grave for us so that we could experience the resurrection power of God. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, you're not following Jesus, your life's a mess, and you need help, can I'm going to tell you what? Today can be your spiritual birthday. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. You just choose Jesus Christ today. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? What does that talk about? Let me give you the gospel message in a simple way I can give it to you. Here it is. The good news is that the just and gracious creator of the universe has looked upon hopelessly sinful men and women, that's us, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection so that everyone, say everyone, everyone who turns from their sin and themselves and trusts in Jesus as Savior and Lord will be reconciled to God. How long? Forever. The resurrection power of Jesus can close the gap between the life that you're living now and the life that you know God wants you to live. There are people in this room today, you've tried to make it better on your own. You've tried to improve your life. And you try to do it without God's help, and you can testify, it didn't work. You gotta have help. You can't save yourself. You're not good enough. On this Easter weekend, one of the things that people always face is, what does it take to get to heaven? Listen, no one is good enough. That's why Jesus died, and that's why he rose again. I'd like you to bow your head and close your eyes all over this room, and I'm gonna ask that no one be looking around and everyone honor this sacred moment. I want you to listen closely to God's Holy Spirit because he's here and he's speaking to you. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I feel God's Holy Spirit speaking to me. I recognize that God's word is true. I need Jesus in my life. I want to trust Christ to save me. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I'm a sinner and that I need to turn from my life of sin and follow Jesus. If that's you here today, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to put your hand up real high, and all I'm gonna do is pray for you when you raise your hand. Are you ready? When I say three, put your hand up. Pastor, pray for me. I wanna make things right with God here today. One, the Spirit of the Lord is the one speaking to you here today. And remember, this is not a church decision. This is a Jesus decision. This church can't change you. Jesus can change you. So you put your faith in the risen Christ. Two, the Bible makes it clear that today is the day. Now's the accepted time. This is not something that you put off. Today is the day to give your life to Christ. So no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, trust Christ to save you today. When I say three, put your hand up real high. Are you ready? One, two, three. Put it up. Put it up. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. God bless you. Keep raising them. Keep raising them all over this room. God bless you. If you're watching online, go ahead and raise your hand. Just raise it real high. Just raise it and keep raising them. If you don't mind, keep it up for just one more moment. Thank you so much for all of you that raised your hand. I know you mean business with God. So I want to lead you in a very powerful but simple prayer of faith. It's a decision, really. You can put your hand down, but everybody who raised your hand, pray this prayer with me. And everyone that would like to encourage them by praying out loud, I want you to pray with them. But if you raised your hand, I want you to pray a little bit louder than everybody else. And remember, these aren't magic words. Words can't save you. It's a decision. And it begins, your journey of following Jesus begins with a decision right now. I will serve Christ. Let's pray. Would you say it this way? Dear God, thank you for the Easter story. It's more than just a story. It's my story because I need you. I agree with you. You are God and I'm not. I've broken your laws. I'm guilty and I'm sorry. Today, I choose you. I choose Jesus Christ. I believe you died and rose again because you love me. I put my faith in you today and every day. Holy Spirit, give me the power to serve you every day. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Somebody give God praise for these who have made this incredible decision to serve Jesus. Hey, come on, no patty caking allowed for stuff like this. The Bible describes you moving from death to life, from darkness to light. The greatest decision you'll ever make. Now listen, listen. This is not a small thing. This is why we do this service. This is why we've been praying for you for months and weeks for this to happen in your life, because God loves you. So I want to encourage you to take some next steps, okay? Listen closely. If that's you and you just prayed, I want to encourage you to do a couple things. First of all, on that connection card we gave you, would you just mark the box that says, hey, I prayed to receive Christ today, or I dedicated my heart to the Lord today, and all we're going to do is we're going to pray for you, and we're just going to encourage you, okay? This Tuesday, we're going to gather, we're going to be praying for you. God, just help him, help her as they begin this relationship with Jesus. And the second thing I want you to do, I want you to go to the Next Steps tent out in the lobby. It's called Next Steps. We're going to give you a Bible. I want to give you a book and some materials to help you begin your relationship with God. The good news is it doesn't involve shaving your head and selling flowers. It's not at all. You're just following Jesus, okay? So I encourage you to do that. Now, the great news about following Jesus is that you're not doing it by yourself. You're part of a family when you get put your faith in Jesus Christ. So on behalf of the body of Christ all around the world and the family of God here at Grace, welcome to the family of God. Come on, somebody, welcome all these men and women. Amen. Praise God. We look forward to you growing in your relationship with God together. Now, I want to do one more thing because I think Joey's testimony is powerful. By the way, Joey's going to be at the Celebrate Recovery booth in the lobby after the service. And you want to talk to him, you know somebody, you want to talk to Russ and Judy at Celebrate Recovery and how that journey can help you in getting free and walking in freedom, I encourage you to do that. You can also mark that on your box on the connection card. But I want to pray for people who have a need here today. You need resurrection power to intervene in your life wherever you're at. Maybe you're fighting an addiction. Maybe somebody you love is. Maybe you're dealing with stuff at your house and your marriage or relationship. Maybe, I don't know what's going on, but you need the resurrection power to show up in your life like it did for Joey. Some people are praying for you. Some people are asking God for you, and we want to pray with you here today. If that's you, would you mind standing? I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything else. I just want you to stand as a point of faith and just communicating, man, I need God to move in my life. If that's you, just stand up right now. Stand up right now. This is a house of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. And I want you to write down your request on that connection card. We're going to be praying for you. We're going to continue to pray for you, but we want to pray for you right now. All right, let's agree together. Lord God, I thank you for every man and woman and teenager and child that's standing right now. And God, we pray for the miracle they're believing for. We believe that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And now we call on that same power to deliver and to heal and to save and to set free and to give wisdom and to restore through the power of your Spirit. God, we believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, oh God, display your power. Display your power in these situations and give victory in Jesus' name. Show us what to do. Show us our part in the miracle, oh God. But Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that something would change and that your will would be done and that you would destroy the works of the evil one and you would be the chain breaker in each one of these situations, God. We believe you, we trust you, and we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people shouted real good, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praise God. And like I said, I want you to write down what you're praying for. You're going to turn it into the buckets in just a moment. We're going to pray with you today. Our ushers are going to come now, and this is our opportunity to turn in these connection cards. And again, we're asking everybody to fill one out. Everybody who's here for the first time, if you're here for the 100th time, everybody do it and fill this out if you don't mind. I want you to hold steady. We've got one more song that we're going to do, and I think you're not going to want to miss it. So thank you for doing that. I want to remind you that everybody who turns these in, we're going to draw, and 10 of you are going to receive a ticket to go see the movie Case for Christ. We'll know that you want to see that as well, okay? The offering is something we do every week here at Grace, and for those who are part of our church, it's a way for us to return to the Lord part of our income just by saying, God, we're thankful for the message of the cross. We're thankful for saving us. We're thankful for heaven. How many know that's a good thing? And today, we get to give with gratitude that God is still changing people's lives. Amen. So thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. We appreciate you so much. Go ahead, ushers. Pass those buckets. Turn in those connection cards. Thank you for giving in the offering today. Now, I know some of you are wondering, well, what's next? You know, it's Easter Sunday. I just want to encourage you, what's next is not Christmas. Did you catch that? What's next is next Sunday, because we actually have services every Sunday, okay? And next Sunday is a water baptism celebration. The next step for people who give their, who put their faith in Jesus Christ is to be baptized in water, and we're going to be doing that next Sunday. So you can check that box there. You can go to Next Steps After. If you want to find out more details about that, next Sunday is going to be an exciting day. But 2 weeks from today, I'm very excited about the next message series that we're going to be doing here at our church. It's all about the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that we just talked about that raised Jesus from the dead. Remember, he said, now lives in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about who he is. We're going to talk about his power. We're going to talk about what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. You're going to want to join us. You're going to want to bring people you know. It's going to be a lot of fun. A very unique twist on it. We've named it Ghost Stories. Watch this.
my sin was heavy, but chains break out the way to your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes were open. And when you called my name,
somebody shout, he is risen. You are dismissed. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We hope to see you back here next Sunday.